Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren. Alongside me is fortune cookie Sarah Wells and melon eater Jane Fawcett.
Nom, nom, nom. I'm like mid-chew, and then he said, we're rolling, and I had to stop chewing.
You guys are like the Brad Pitts of the Spoutcast, where in every scene of the Spoutcast, you guys are eating food. If you've noticed...
That's not the truth.
Dude.
Every scene...
Of Oceans, all the Oceans movies, Brad Pitt has food in his mouth. Oh, you guys. Well, you guys... at least are having, you're fidgety. You have to have something in your hands. Jane's got her phone. Sarah's usually like eating, you know, and it's just.
Sarah's.
I'm just, you know, Jane. This is true. Right?
I'm just a snacker. I like
you, our audience knows you have diabetes.
I do.
And what's your like snack of choice in the diabetic world?
Well, it has nothing to do with my diabetes, but my snack of choice is anything with sugar in it.
Sometimes you need to get your sugars up, correct?
Sometimes I do need to get my sugar up. And when that is, when my blood sugar is low, I go for a apple juicy juice.
Apple juicy juice.
A miniature one. Juice box.
Wow.
But really, if that's not available, then frosting all the way, man.
Ice cream.
Cookies.
Just strawberry frosting, huh?
Strawberry.
Orange soda has been by your bed a few times.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah. I have a buddy. He's been on the show before. His name's Taylor Allen. Mm-hmm. And one time he was just starving. And so he ended up eating like literally, you know, those like tubs of like frosting that's like pre-made. It's like Pillsbury frosting.
You know, I'm pretty familiar with those.
Okay, so he ate an entire thing of like strawberry frosting.
I don't think I could eat a whole one.
And we have strawberry frosting in our fridge right now.
Later that night, like threw up everywhere. Oh, and there it was as if, yeah, it was like Pepto-Bismol.
Oh, all about
that's nasty.
So
I don't ever eat that.
It's a good way to start the show, you know.
Yeah.
So we were off last week, but
No, we weren't.
We weren't off last week. We were off 2 weeks ago. My bad.
You're off.
I'm off. But this week we're gonna be chatting some more about spiritual gifts. So Brad, yesterday's sermon really just did an overview of all the spiritual gifts mentioned in the Bible, or at least in the Old Testament and the New Testament, right? I think
that's
he mentioned
the whole
some,
Bible. The I think.
Oh, sorry. Did he mention any from the Old Testament?
I don't think so.
I think
he said in Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians.
I think he mentioned like worship in the Old Testament, like carpentry
and giving,
or
serving.
Like that. Well, whatever. We'll move on from there. We'll discuss it in the sermon discussions part. And then we're also going to interview John Lorente, our missions director here at the Well. And we're going to just talk a lot about missions and just kind of hear an update from what happened over the summer and different mission trips.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah, you think you'll talk a lot during that? Or
I call. She does.
Okay.
You guys.
I call it.
Maybe I'll give a monologue about London, but I'm not sure.
She might take over the whole interview segment. I don't know.
I have a lot to say.
And then from there, we'll close out the show. But we have some music this week. Sarah, why don't you explain the music?
It's not a ton to explain. Just I heard Bethel music. Is that what they're called? Bethel.
Yeah.
Bethel music. When I was in Texas visiting a friend of mine, they were listening to it all weekend, and I loved it. And then we even had one by them last week.
Mm-hmm.
I Exalt Your Name.
I Will Exalt.
That's it. I Will Exalt. And so we just have all of their music this time around.
Yeah. My wife is a huge fan of their church, and she will sometimes just watch their stuff online.
Oh, yeah.
She is just loving it and loves Bethel and just loves it's not necessary. I think she likes the music and the artist, but it's it's all live usually and that you just got an entire congregation just singing, and she loves how their church is just... They are just built on worship. And if you watch videos, freedom of expression church. And it's, if you ever YouTube them or whatever, their worship, everybody's just raising their hands and just loving it. And so we got some of that today.
Cool.
So it's going to be a good episode, guys.
We missed Kevin today.
Yeah, we missed Kevin. His little daughter is sick.
Kevin.
So what happens if we just like totally forgot about Kevin? He was still just sitting over there. And he's like, hey, you guys going to ever introduce me?
Maybe he'll do that sometime.
Oh, we should try it.
All right. Well, stay tuned for sermon discussion and enjoy some Bethel worship. Thank you.
The other thing we need to recognize is because it's only found, miracles and healings are found in the Gospels and in the book of Acts, that's historical narrative literature. That means it's telling a story. A good way to put it is that's descriptive, not prescriptive. The book of Acts is not saying this is how it should be. The book of Acts is saying this is what happened. Do with it what you want. Now that's crucial because I've had several people that will come and say, hey, I want to talk to you about that because the book of Acts, boy, there's people speaking in tongues and there's tongues of fire and there's this and there's miracles and there's that. That should be happening today. I go, okay, well, be consistent with your theology. Because if that's the case, they were also selling their possessions and their homes and giving the money to the church to distribute to anyone who had need. Why aren't we doing that? They also met daily in the house of God with gladness of heart. And last time I checked, we're not banging down the church doors every day. So we can't pick and choose. We can't say this part of the book of Acts should be applicable today, but this part isn't. Either it all is, or it's all just saying, this is what happened.
That was a clip from Brad this past Sunday. And the sermon was kind of an overview of a lot of the spiritual gifts in the Bible, as we mentioned in the segment before. But I chose that clip because there wasn't necessarily a clip that overviewed what his whole sermon was. Mm-hmm. But I really liked that clip. And I felt like that was kind of on the tail end of last week's sermon discussion, just talking about like how sometimes we just get into spiritual gifts and we start like going, well, why aren't you doing the spiritual gift? Oh, you don't believe in spiritual gifts. And it's like, whoa, like let's be well-rounded Christians and make sure we're looking at all angles of Christianity and all angles of what the early church really wanted church to be. And it's not just like, well, if you're not a church if you don't believe in spiritual gifts, or you're not a church if you don't practice these things. So I really liked that clip. I remember listening and going, wow, that was awesome that you said that. But yeah. That was one small snippet of the sermon that he mentioned. An overview of the sermon is essentially Brad mentioned he had a grandpa. I don't know that did he mention this at all services?
Yeah.
Okay, so he has this grandpa who used these three tools, and he only used three tools. And if it was to fix a refrigerator, he would only use these three tools. And he sometimes got stuck in these three tools, and that was really all he ever used. And so in the concept of spiritual gifts, he was saying sometimes we think that there's only just like three spiritual gifts, and that's all we ever talk about. And those three are typically like tongues, I would say miracles, and like prophecies.
Yeah.
And so, but Brad was like, there's a lot more than that. And so let's go through those, because we tend to focus on these three when there's really many more that we sometimes miss out on. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the overview of the sermon.
Yeah. And PJ, when he would wrap up the service at the end, would say like, we're all in a tool chest. So like whatever tool you are is going to edify the body in a sense. So let's work together and be the like most populated tool chest we can be, and let the crescent wrench be the crescent wrench and the pliers be the pliers or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I think PJ's setting up the sermon for next week because the next week's sermon is all about the body and how these different gifts work to kind of serve the body.
Edification.
And man, I don't think we have time to necessarily go through every single spiritual gift, but what I really appreciated about the sermon was Brad brought to light spiritual gifts that are never really talked about. And like, in a sense, like apostle, being an apostle is a spiritual gift, but you have to have qualifications to be an apostle. And then the gift of administration. Mm-hmm. And we sometimes think, well, you have to be type A. You have to know how to check off boxes on lists. But it's more of like, no, that's more so the gift of leadership.
Yeah.
And he mentioned, I mean, gosh, giving, the spiritual gift of faith. Was there one?
Discerning spirits.
Discerning spirits.
Between spirits. That one is always interesting to me.
Uh-huh. But these are never really talked about. And oftentimes the controversial ones are like the tongues, and he defined that. I thought it was interesting. Maybe get your guys' thoughts. Brad said that speaking in tongues is a dialect that we would understand, or that somebody would understand.
A known language.
A known language, meaning that your interpreter is somebody who basically speaks that language. Mm-hmm, right. And he used a great example. It'd be like if you're from Tulare and you all of a sudden started speaking Russian or French or something, mm-hmm. and but you've never had any prior history with that language. Right. But it's a language that people would know the language. Mm-hmm. And I've actually been taught differently, and I've heard differently, and I know other people believe differently, mm-hmm. is that it is a language that you would not necessarily understand or know. And the person who is the interpreter is the one who, their spiritual gift is interpreting this language that's not known. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because Brad's just, I actually totally agree with Brad and kind of see his point in the sense of like, this is what the word means in the, like, I think the Greek context, yeah. you know, it means dialect, which would mean a language.
Known language.
Exactly. Yeah. So it is interesting. I think that a lot of different people have different thoughts on that. Yeah. Go for it.
Well, it's hard because I was taught that also mm-hmm. and how it was used, because it makes total sense. Like Paul is traveling to all these different areas and they may speak different languages, and then he's able to, or not just Paul, but like any of the apostles, then you're able to communicate the gospel in their heart language.
Right.
And then also as a rebuke to the Jews, because in Isaiah, he talked about the Isaiah passage, how mm-hmm. they'll say, it says in Isaiah, someone will come to you and speak to you in your language who does mm-hmm. not know its language. So anyways, mm-hmm. I'll just say, I had something else to say. Oh, it's hard to have conversations with people about it who they have experience, because you can't fight their experience.
Right.
Like they'll say, no, I spoke in that language. And it was an unknown language. No one knows what it was. And I said it. You can't say, no, you didn't. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
So it's hard.
I think it's, yeah. Because usually when there's people speaking in tongues, there's an interpreter.
Mm-hmm.
So when you speak in tongues and there's not an interpreter, I go, well, what is that then?
Yeah. I've talked to my mom about it. And when she was in college, she went to some revival thing and someone like laid a hand on her and she started speaking in another tongue. And mm-hmm. she would say, I didn't want to. I didn't have any desire to. It mm-hmm. just came out. She's like, I don't know what that was. And in this particular instance, she'd say, that wasn't from the Lord. I did not feel a peace about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was just a weird situation mm-hmm. where something came out of me and it wasn't me talking. And so she believes in like what we're talking about with tongues on that side of things, but she's experienced the other. Mm-hmm. She'd say that wasn't from the Lord though. So,
and there's the side of it where people look at it as a prayer language. Mm-hmm. Like I have a friend who would believe that, and
would believe what?
She has a prayer language.
Gotcha.
And that it's between her and God. But Brad pushes back and says, spiritual gifts are for the edification and serving of the body. And if you say that, then how is your prayer language edifying a believer
mm-hmm.
when it's just between you and God?
I think that's why Paul writes the book in the first place. People are wanting these things for themselves. It's selfishness.
Right. It's
once
the
again.
Whole theme of 1 Corinthians.
Yeah.
In later on in chapter 14, I'm excited for, I think Jared is preaching on it because afterwards I came and asked him about it. But in verse 2 of chapter 14, it says, for one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. And so I don't know what exactly that means in reference to everything we just talked about. But I said, hey, Jared, good luck on that one. And he said, oh, don't worry. We got it. We'll get it. We'll get it. But so stay tuned. Cool.
Yeah. I know that. I don't know this, but I know this. I know that I think when you have three different personalities and three different teachers, three different backgrounds, I think they're going to maybe teach I like how they're going to teach in the sense of like, here's what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what many people believe.
Yeah.
Here's what I believe. And I could assume, and I would assume that Brad and PJ and Jared may not all be on the same page, mm-hmm. but they're all going to teach what the Bible says.
Yeah.
And then they're going to go, this is what the Bible says. Here's mm-hmm. what I think this says, but other people think this.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that about the well in the sense of we don't have all the answers.
Mm-hmm.
We are purposely, I think, not given all the answers because I think that this is an issue where there's not a clear thing. And we talked about this last week, but it really is for everything's all about the body
mm-hmm.
and doing it for the glory of God and the one who is the giver of the gifts. Brad mentioned that a lot in his sermon.
Yeah.
We focus so often on these gifts, but not so much on the giver.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough. It's very difficult because there are people out there that have obviously experienced these gifts and they've experienced these tongues, and you go to different countries, it's very prominent out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you can't deny somebody else's experience.
Right.
And you don't want to say, well, I don't know then, or like what you're, you want, well, that's not from God or whatever, because maybe it is. We don't know what their relationship is.
Right.
And so that is so tough, because I don't think Brad ever said anything of the sense of like, I don't believe in that or whatever it is, but it's like, we don't know, you know?
Yeah.
And so we can't deny somebody else's experience, but what do we do with all of this? You know, I think that's the question of that. You know, Brad mentioned in his sermon, like prophecy. And if you're not 100% accurate with prophecy, you'd be put to death.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've had people prophesize over me and they weren't accurate, but they've been accurate with other people. And I go, well, so does that mean it's just a guess? Is it crazy? Or maybe it is from God.
How many false prophecies does it take for someone to be a false prophet? It
right.
should be, the answer should be one.
Yeah.
But it's how
but they believe it's from God, and that God has given them other prophecies. And
but if something's from God and it doesn't come true, then I would say it's not
right.
But I've also never been there. So
and then there's the one who's the one who.
Do you guys believe this is just kind of random? Joseph in the Old Testament. I've been reading a lot of his story in Genesis and stuff, and he had the ability to interpret dreams.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, Brad didn't mention that, but I think that's a spiritual gift in a sense.
I won't say this is a spiritual gift. I really like interpreting dreams.
Yeah.
Because I think you can. Not all of them can be interpreted, because some of them are just stupid and whatever. But sometimes they reveal inner things that's going on in your head. And I like doing that.
I had somebody interpret one of my dreams one time. I wasn't even looking for it. I was just at work. And I was telling the girls at work this dream that I had. And this lady who... she's amazing and I love her, just started saying, well, this and this and this, and this means this and this means this. And I'm like, how did you just get that? But it's that thing where you just kind of have to like take it with a grain of salt. Like maybe to her, that's what my dream meant. But to me, like I didn't think twice about, I just had a crazy dream, you know?
I've had dreams where afterwards I've woken up and thought like, oh, I totally know exactly why I dreamt that. Like,
And I just think this whole spiritual gifts thing, and Brad always mentions is like, these are the things that cause so much controversy or whatever. And I go, all right, controversy aside, it's all about, it's for the body. It's about the giver of the gifts.
Yeah. Let's not let it completely divide us.
Yeah. But the people that go, I don't believe in these things. They're not real. They've all died. And then there's the other side of going like, no, they're real. I've experienced them firsthand. Like, it's hard to deny somebody their experience, but if you've never experienced it, it's hard to believe in it because you've never experienced it. And it's just like this line where you go, of course you're not going to believe in it if you've never experienced it. And of course you're going to believe in it if you have experienced it. But what have you experienced? Do we know that these experiences are from God? Maybe they are, maybe they're not. And so that's the line that I think it's like, these are the questions being asked outside of Brad's sermon, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's just an interesting thought.
So, and I think it depends on your background of how you've grown up in the church, because I grew up very conservatively. And Brad mentioned it last week where it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Scripture. Like how the Holy Spirit's kind of taken out of the picture because all these like taboo things come with the Holy Spirit, you know? Mm. But then you talk to, like I was talking to PJ earlier this week, and he's come from a more, not like super charismatic background, or even Dom, who said he's come from probably a more charismatic background than PJ, and how I would look at these things and think, if I was in a service and during worship, someone just was like, going crazy, like dancing in the aisles or whatever, and that was how they're expressing worship, that to me would feel out of control. Mm. Whereas to someone who's grown up more charismatically, that's normal, you know? Mm. But as like, I mean, we say at the Well, like, you're free to worship the way that you want to worship as long as you're not being a distraction to somebody else's worship. So like, where's that line of like, okay, like you're putting on a show, like, come on, let's talk.
But we don't know that.
Yeah.
It's tough because, you've got another church in town who's very expressive in their worship.
For sure.
And if those people have come to the Clovis campus before, and, yeah, and they're wanting to express what they have felt like they could express in a previous church service that they were a part of. And it's like, well, in that service, they felt like this was how they could express their worship. And so what do we say to them? Are we off base? Are they off base? I don't know. It's the dance where it's like, how do, and I think it's always going to be a dance, but as long as I think we're uplifting like God and we aren't denying the Holy Spirit, then I think we just have to leave it at that. Right.
I think that is our default answer is, as long as you're not a distraction. And so if someone wants to, you know, move around a lot or whatever, we'll ask them like, okay, you are welcome to do that. Please just stand in the back. Because that way it's not drawing attention to yourself.
Yeah. I disagree. I get distracted by people on the stage who are leading worship and it's like, so what's the difference in my opinion?
Yeah. And I've heard Brad talk about a discovery, like people being slain in the spirit or whatever, like, oh, I couldn't control it. You know, I was just expressing whatever the spirit was leading me to do. And he'd say, well, one of the fruits of the spirit is self-control. So
I agree with that. That's more of like, I think a Pentecostal church would go more in that. I totally agree. I think it is self-control.
Yeah. I've never thought about that. You're distracted by other things too.
Yeah. All the time. Mm-hmm. So I can't worship because Dave's going to kill me or whatever, but I can't worship because the volume is too low or it's too high or, you know, it's like all these things where it's like, it's not about any of that, or people on stage dance or kind of move around or, and it's like when they worship and that's distracting to me or whatever. And I go, well, that's my own problem. You know what I mean? That I should be worshiping God and not, I should let all these distractions go away. Mm-hmm. And so if people are going to dance down the aisles, sure, it'd be weird and it probably would never happen at the Well, but I'm the one who has a problem with that. But it's because I'm not focused solely on God. Mm-hmm. And but now if somebody's shaking me and moving me, that's a different story.
If we could do something that would help you be less distracted, I'd want to do that. And we can't take the people off the stage. We can't, but if someone's moving around, like a musician is jumping around too much on stage, we'd ask them, hey, can you try to stand more still?
Totally. But you have a congregation at, let's say, your 9 a.m. services. And let's say I were to go to a 9 a.m. service and the volume is really low. I'm the same exactly amount distracted. And somebody else would go, if you turn the volume up anymore, I'm distracted.
That's true.
So everybody's distractions are different, right?
Yep.
And I think that it's just like, I don't know. That's why there's no line to be drawn. There's you can't be a persister and go black and white. There's always got to be a gray area. But I think we do a fairly good job of it at the Well.
And I think it has to do with your motivation behind it. Like,
right,
we would say we turn the music or we turn the volume up at the 7 a little louder because that's the population of that service. Or we would say, if there was somebody that was being a little more charismatic during worship or whatever, we'd want to know their heart in it and not just say like, that's wrong.
No. And so, I think my only pushback is more like, yeah, sure, somebody dancing down the aisle, that's a distraction, but I'm distracted by many things during worship. Sure. And I think we just, the line is very difficult to draw. Yeah. I do think that it's like our hope is that everybody in our congregation is able to worship and worship in the way that they feel led, as long as it's not distracting. And I think in a physical sense to somebody else, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you are knocking people over or somebody's like, are you all right, dude? Like that is going to distract them from their time with God.
Yeah.
But I think you can have that argument in all these different gifts. And so I think that's what's going on in our world today in church world is like, everybody's got a different interpretation on gifts, different thought on certain thing. And it's like, as Brad mentioned, and it wasn't, he didn't really have everybody walk away with, hey, here's what I want you to learn this week. Or here's what I want you to walk away with. I think his big point was like, remember, these are all from the giver who is God and God has the ability to give gifts. And like some gifts aren't for us. The gift of apostle is not for us. We didn't see him. We didn't walk with him and we don't have that gift.
Right.
So
we didn't see him raised from the dead.
Yes, exactly. So it's just one of those things where you got to learn about the gifts. I think it's good to have knowledge in all the gifts. And then we're going to learn kind of here in the coming weeks, more and more about the different gifts and how they can be used to edify the body. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Sorry if I talked a lot, guys.
That's okay. That's okay.
Up next, we're going to interview John Lorente, our missions director. And
I may or may not talk a lot in that segment, so it's fine.
You may or may not. Not
$5 says she talks a lot.
All right. So John will be up next, and we will chat with him just regarding mission trips over the summer and kind of what's next here in Missions World at the Well. So stay tuned for that.
Grace, you show me grace. You lifted my shame. Drawn me with love.
Welcome back. We are here with John Lorente, our missions director here at the Well, global missions director here at the Well. And we write little write-ups for this show, and I wrote missions director, and Janie corrected me and said global missions director. So I just wanted to, is that your official title?
It's actually just missions director.
Oh, it is.
Oh. Yeah.
Janie?
So Janie, she's gonna be embarrassed. You should go talk to Janie about this.
Yeah, I know.
She'll hear.
Yeah, so John, give us kind of like, what is your role, kind of your story? This is your first time on the show. So first of all, thanks for coming on.
John, have you ever listened to the show?
I've listened to it once.
Yeah. Oh, which episode? Yeah.
You know,
do you remember?
I think
the
it was something... I think it was after State of the Church last year.
Oh, okay.
Last year.
Yeah,
nice. So it's been a little while.
Wow.
You'll probably listen today. So now you can have two episodes under your belt.
Perfect.
There you go. So maybe what's your story? You've been at the Well for a while. Kind of how'd you guys get to the Well? You're not from Fresno. Mm-hmm. Kind of go for it.
Yeah. You know, before we get into, I guess, my job, Abby and I, my wife's name is Abby, and she and I met in San Diego, went to college down there. Worked down there for a few years at two schools, one called San Diego Christian College and another one called, Point Loma Nazarene University.
Yep.
And spent some time down there. And then I was working in student development in resident life, so hanging out with college students. It was a lot of fun.
In San Diego.
Okay. That was down in San Diego. And then I moved up to a camp for a little while and spent some time doing camp ministry. And
where's
and,
that? Wait, which camp, John?
It's called Pine Valley Bible Conference Center. And then I was up at Hume Lake for a while as well.
There it is.
There's the shout out to Hume Lake.
There's the connection.
Yeah, that was actually 2003, 2004, 2005. But okay. I was up at Hume for a while.
All right.
And spent some time up there. It was a lot of fun.
Then from Hume and this camping ministry, somehow you got to Sacramento?
Moved up to Sacramento. I worked for a university up there called William Jessup University. And
I told you I took three units there, right?
Did you really?
Three units.
Did you not like them?
I actually got my job in Fresno, and I just started my degree at William Jessup. And then they were like, you're going to move to Fresno. So
it wasn't like the professor was really awful or anything.
No,
like that.
I will say this. I learned this from my professor. We did. It was one math class I had to take. And this is so random, but we studied, is waiting in line at Costco fuel efficient, even if your gas is cheaper at Costco than it is to just go to like a Shell?
I've actually thought that really close.
And so we went from where our house is, where's the closest gas station, to Costco, and then idling and turning your car on and off in Costco, we said there was like, you're always about three cars behind. So how much gas do you use? All this stuff. And it ends up turning out that me going to like the nearest Shell, which was like down the road, was actually cheaper than me driving to Costco waiting in line.
Unless you hit Costco at the best hours when there's no one in line.
So just so you know, I learned a lot.
Sounds like
John.
William Jessup came through for you.
Yeah, they really did.
they're really trying to empower leaders, and now you got your math skills down.
That's right. So, all right. So William Jessup and you guys were both there.
Yeah, my wife and I were both at William Jessup. We were living on campus, and then my wife was working for Western Seminary and managing their office as she was also a student there. She was studying marriage and family therapy. And so we spent 2 years in Sacramento, and we led a team from William Jessup to Thailand, and so took a team of students over to the Hill Tribes region, and it's actually the same area that the well goes, where we go.
Cool.
And we happened to overlap by the well team by just a couple of days and met a few people that were there, and that was my first connection with the Well Community Church.
When was that?
That was in 2010.
And that's okay. The trip that Pat Dill was on.
That was the trip Pat Dill was on.
And Pat Dill has been a guest on the show 3 times. So our listeners
know. Popular guy.
Yeah. They know so who he is.
I didn't realize this side of your story, but you had just ran into somebody from the Well. Up until this point, you had never heard of the Well Community Church.
Well, I had known it was here. When I lived up at Hume, Hume and the Well have a pretty good relationship.
Okay, yes, that would make sense.
And so I knew about the Well. Mm-hmm. I knew that it existed and that it was in Fresno, and mm-hmm. that there was this guy named Brad that was here, and he was a pretty good teacher. And
right.
That was pretty much the mm-hmm. you know, the extent of it. I'd really never had a chance to be involved in anything that we were doing here before.
Okay.
And so...
So then Andrew File was our previous missions director. Mm-hmm. He kind of stepped away from that role, moved into a spiritual formation role. And then you kind of came up through an interview process and it's been about a year and a half.
Well, the way that actually happened is when I was in San Diego previously, my life is so interwoven.
Yeah.
Like most of ours, I guess.
Right.
But when we were down in San Diego, I had been involved with a nonprofit organization that was working in Thailand that had developed and started the child sponsorship program to Lana Coffee that's here in Fresno. Mm-hmm. And so the children that are in Thailand that are sponsored were actually, a lot of those sponsorships were rolled over from an organization that I had been a part of down in San Diego.
Okay.
And so I was asked to come to Fresno and just be a part of a meeting that happened, I guess it would have been, I think, in March of 2010.
Yeah,
2010, to just talk through the child sponsorship transfer. And while I was here, there were a few people at that meeting. Dale Norris happened to be one of them. And somebody randomly mentioned that the Well was looking for a missions director and asked me if I was available. And at that point, I shouldn't say available, if I was looking for a job.
Okay.
And so at that point, I had already resigned from my position at William Jessup and gave him about 6 months' notice, which is way too much notice.
It's a lot of notice.
It was... It was good though. It allowed us to find the right person to replace me and mm-hmm. and go from there. But ultimately, what it did is it really freed me up to just start looking around and you know, my wife and I knew we were going to be doing something different and we wanted to be in ministry.
Yeah.
And when we happened to be down here, when someone mentioned that the Well was looking for a missions director, I just asked if I could get in that pipeline. And
yeah.
And so it ended up being about a 3-month process, emails back and forth, resumes, interviews, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It took quite a while.
Lots of driving back and forth.
I did quite a few laps from here to Sacramento. I think I came down.
Beautiful drive.
3 times. The 99 is fantastic.
Every time I drive from here to Sacramento, that's where my parents live. And I see the, there's in Lodi off to the left hand side, there's like a skydiving thing.
Yeah. Have you ever done it?
I've never skydived, but every time I'm like, I gotta skydive one of these days. So every time it's
would funny. You ever skydive, Jane?
No. I don't think so.
Have you skydived before?
I have been skydiving.
Is it fun?
It's a lot of fun.
Now, were you attached to an instructor?
I was.
Okay.
Don't you have to be attached now?
I've heard different places do different things.
Classes,
yeah, I think if you take a class. Right?
I kind of liked having the instructor.
The guy.
It was reassuring to know that
you
he was going
to like
help.
Up close and personal with them, though.
So. That was a little awkward, to be honest.
Stranger?
To them, they probably are like, I do this all the time. So
yeah, they're
deal.
Used to it. They're used to it.
So kind of got the job.
Got the job.
You're here, mm-hmm. Fresno. You go to our Clovis campus, correct?
Absolutely. Yep.
And you liking the Clovis campus?
It's been great for
You've
us.
Kind of been there since the birth of it. Correct?
I think it'd been going on, what, a few months?
We started 10-10-10.
Okay.
And so you
220.
Came...
10-10-10-220.
10-10-10-220, yeah. No, and then you came later on. So yeah, it's been going on for a little while.
Yeah,
but not
quite
too
the
long.
Beginning.
And then, so your first mission trip at the Well was, I believe, to Thailand, yep. right? So that was kind of a,
hey. So my comfort zone.
Yeah, comfort zone. There you go.
Knew the area.
And then that was last winter, right?
Mm-hmm. That was last December.
And then this summer, you went on a few mission trips as well.
We did.
And maybe we'll go through a quick overview of some of those mission trips. The first one you went on was to Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Did you go on both of the trips or just one?
No, Scott Carolyn went on the second trip.
Okay.
And then I was on the first trip.
And what kind of was that trip? Well, why'd you guys go out to Ukraine and kind of what'd you guys do out there?
Well, there's a life group at, I guess it would be the North PM service, the LOS group. Mm-hmm. And they had met a guy that was working in Ukraine, a national, and he had started an organization called Hope for Orphans, and not to be confused with the Hope for Orphans that I think is based on in the States. Mm-hmm. But they were familiar with this guy and his ministry, and this is just a normal guy that got a just had a passion growing him for the orphans that were in Ukraine and in the orphanages, and started a just started a ministry where he was going to the orphanages where the kids were at and come alongside them, ministering to them, just wanting to, you know, really taking that, I think it's the James 1:27 passage where it talks about caring for widows and orphans mm-hmm. in distress.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, he really just wanted to take that seriously and pour it into the kids that were there. He's since then just that ministry is just blossoming and growing, and we're excited to see where that goes in the future, and hopefully to get back there again this next year.
So a college group went out there, and you kind of led the college group. And then Scott kind of went with a group of adults, essentially?
No, actually, it was mainly college students on both trips.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was mainly the group from LOS that went. There were quite a few of them. There ended up being, I want to say, maybe 24 to 27 of them that went to Ukraine this last year.
Oh, that is so cool.
And they've just been fired up for the ministry that's there and wanted to be a part of it. And really just heard God calling them, and so they went.
Yeah, so do you feel like this is a kind of a future thing? Can it continue to go back and build it into this organization in Ukraine?
You know, from our standpoint, we're willing to.
Yeah.
And I think it just depends on what the needs are of the organization that's there. And
yeah.
I've made it known to his name's Jenya, that if he's interested in having us come back, that we're available, and he communicated when we left that he wanted us to. And so that's been something that's just been going on the last little bit. We'll see where that goes.
Yeah.
We don't have anything finalized for this next year yet, but he had a pretty big amount of land donated to Hope for Orphans in Ukraine. And his goal is to just develop that land to make a camp and a place where where the orphans can come in the summer and then hopefully down the road year round and just pour into their lives, love them as Christ does, and just really just come alongside the kids. It's it was a fantastic exposure trip. Definitely a sad trip as well, just because you see the conditions that the kids were in. That was hard.
So that was about 2 weeks worth of, and then came back. The high school group went to Costa Rica.
Yes,
Jeremiah Spears, big fan of the show. Not the official super fan.
No, I think he's just the second.
He's just a
second
fan.
He's a runner up.
Second tier.
And now
who's the super fan?
Her name is Sarah Roby. Mm-hmm. She won this trivia challenge we did. And then we also have a guy named Daniel or Danny, and
title?
He's like a mega fan.
Oh, he's the mega fan, yeah.
Yeah. So
if you listen to the show, like you too could be a mega fan or a super fan.
I feel like I'm behind and I need to get caught up on Spoutcast.
You do need to.
Yeah,
don't tell him he's fine. You need to catch up on all of them.
I'm gonna go with Christian's answer.
Hey, we're pretty funny. You'd like listening to the show.
Jeremiah took a group of students to Costa Rica, and that has been a trip that I think he came on last year on this show and kind of talked about him taking students out there as well, because he's now been twice to Costa Rica with high school kids. And you did not go on that trip, but that was a successful trip. Jeremiah just loved it. It was a little bit of a shorter trip, he said, but it was still great for an exposure piece for a lot of the students.
Mm. Especially for the young students, because I know some like freshmen even went and they've never been outside of Clovis before.
Right, we want that to be a trip where a lot of the freshman kids go, because it really exposes them to. So the iHeart Fresno trip is kind of the first like hey, go on this, see what you like. And then we start to see personalities from that come out and people's like missional heart come out. And then we really try and push those kids to then go to Costa Rica. So I thought it was a great success. Jeremiah had a great time.
There's quite a bit written on the missions blog too. About
they wrote a lot of blogs on there, which was cool. And the high school kids are the ones that wrote the blogs.
Absolutely.
And some misspellings here and there, but it's like, you know, it's no big deal.
And
then after that, London, you guys all went to London, and Sarah went to London, and you were also there. And so how, kind of what was that trip? Sarah gave us a bit of an overview, but kind of the point of the trip was for you guys to go out there and...
I'm on. All right. He pointed at me. London was a trip that just kind of fell into our lap as a church. I had been in contact with a guy from Greater Europe Mission, and he had communicated the opportunity to go to London and really just talk to people about Christ and about who God is. And at this point, London is pretty much thought of as a pre-Christian nation, and not to be confused with what we normally think of as a post-Christian nation. And there's so much of our Christian heritage, our beliefs that started in England, and that just helped push that Protestant view forward. What we found when we were there is, I know for me personally, I had a conversation with someone that it wasn't that this person didn't want anything to do with God or Jesus. She had never heard of him. She didn't know anything about Christ. And so to be able to go to a country that we speak a common language, minus some weird words that they've hung on to, I guess. But that was, I think a really life-changing opportunity for some of the people on our team, and to just be able to come alongside a couple of churches that we partnered with that are in England. They actually weren't in London. We keep calling it the London trip, but we weren't really in London.
Like 30-40 minutes outside of London.
Okay.
Yeah, in a village
called Chalfont.
St. Peter, yeah.
But so, nobody would know where that is.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's all right.
At least I wouldn't. I didn't know where it was.
Yeah. So it was, it was interesting because we went with the intent of just talking to a lot of people, and we had our stories prepared and we were ready to share with just non-believers or go wherever they wanted us to go. And we ended up, when we got there, our expectations had to change a little bit because the need turned into something different. So we ended up serving this church and however they needed us to serve them. And they had a 2-week event going on during the Olympics. There's something for every age throughout all day long. So from 8 a.m. till 9 p.m., probably 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., there was either a VBS going on or a sports camp for the youth or a sports bar for the adults. Or, there was even times where we can do nails for the ladies. There was aerobics classes, like something for every age all day long. And the point of it was to reach out to the community to get them connected to these churches that they were partnered with.
Okay.
And so we helped run these days pretty much, which is not what we expect to do at all. But it was cool because we really were stretched in that because we had an expectation that wasn't what we ended up doing. So we really just got to serve the church and however they saw fit. And what was cool was halfway through the week, sorry, I just started talking a lot, John.
That's okay. Go for it.
Halfway through the week, we realized a lot of us were doing what God has gifted us in. So some of us were working with kids. I was working registration, which I really like. We had one gal who's training to be an Olympian for the 2016 Olympics. So she got to share a lot.
What's her name?
Mallory Gilbert.
She's one of our WSM leaders now.
Is she?
Yeah.
Pole vaulter.
She's pretty rad.
Yeah, that's a huge thing. That's awesome.
She's going to be a leader at our Clovis campus, our Clovis group.
Good.
With our Clovis East, Clovis High.
She's
but
awesome.
But she... pole vaulter, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. So she got to share a lot with people.
Her brother just started interning with, I think it's PJ as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Okay, look at that.
What's his... Jared? Is that his name?
I think it's Jared.
How really funny. I think I talked
to him. How really funny.
How funny. And that's really funny all together. So it was cool to see how like God can, he uses your natural abilities wherever you're at. We don't have to be swinging a hammer to be doing God's work in another country, you know, like building houses or whatever.
That's what Brad's saying. Oh, swinging a hammer.
Swinging a hammer. I must listen to his sermons or something. So it was really cool. Just we're doing what we naturally would do in Fresno, except we were doing it in London.
Right.
So it was kind of a mind shift for us because we think of missions trips as you're in a hut and you're really dirty and you don't get to shower and you're doing all these things. But we were comfortable and we had to deal with that too, because that was, we almost felt a little bit of guilt for being comfortable, but anyways, it was a good trip. I talked a lot. John, take it away.
Well, no, I mean, you did phenomenal. It really just hit on, I think, the team's view of missions and saying it is missions always to a third world country, which
right.
has kind of been at least my experience in missions and my default mm-hmm. of going to just some real hardcore places.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to continue to go to those places. So I don't want to say that we're not doing that.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, even as I think of our mission as a church, we want to reach people in every neighborhood and help
right.
them connect to God and to each other. And that includes places like England or any other country.
Rich neighborhood where we got to stay in a really nice place, a nice castle, but they still need to hear Jesus there too. So.
Right. Well, I know that our missions department has a lot of mission trips coming up and some exciting new trips to be a part of, and trips like Thailand that we've gone to many times before. And so with that, if you guys want to support missions, we do have a tri-tip fundraiser coming up in November.
Mm-hmm.
So you can check our website. It'll be on the website, the dates.
Yeah, the fundraiser is on November 4th and 7th.
Okay.
And there is an opportunity to buy tickets online, or people can buy tickets directly from the members of the teams that are going to be going.
Yeah, so be on the lookout for that if you want to support missions. We've been doing this fundraiser for a while, so you kind of know the language of it. But just make sure that we're always supporting missions, and cool experiences always come back, and great stories from missions. And you guys just had a dessert night, or that's next week?
That's actually on the 22nd, so
okay.
that's coming
Saturday.
Up this,
Saturday.
This Saturday.
Yeah, so just to recap all the summer mission trips, that is this Saturday on the 22nd. Not open for anybody?
It is open for anybody, and we're also going to give dessert away.
And that's so, where?
Here.
That's here.
At the North Campus.
At 7 p.m.
Look at that. 22nd.
I'm going to make some really good desserts, so come.
Are you making ration cake?
I just might, Jane.
Wow.
Which well, is hey, my famous dessert.
I don't know.
It has peanut butter and white chocolate.
John, thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it. Thanks for sharing your story a little bit, and hopefully you'll at least listen to this episode.
All right. I can guarantee you that.
Up next, we will close out the show with some spout outs and just
no announcements.
And no announcements. Goodbye. Welcome back. Jane tried to.
You were so sneaky.
Jane tried to start when I started.
Did you see me?
I didn't, actually.
Oh, shoot.
If you ever see a photo of me in this room, I have this huge oval pop guard.
I hate it.
And I can't see Jane half
I
the
know.
Episode.
You,
so
your eyes are like hidden behind the circle.
I have
Why don't
got.
You just lower it?
Well, I like it like this.
You'd
I'd rather not look
oh,
at Jane.
Yeah.
So,
okay, that's all right, Christian.
I got one spout out. My very best friend, his name is Taylor Allen. His Camp Hammer name is Aw Yeah. Like, aw yeah.
That's really funny.
And he's been on the show one time before.
Mm-hmm.
He is a really good friend of mine. He got engaged actually a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, but he had his engagement party this week. So Lacey and I had the opportunity to go and spend some time with him and his family. And it was awesome because the whole time we're telling his dad that he needs to give a speech, and the whole time he's like, no. I'm not going to give one. And then we kind of forced him into it, and we're like, hey, Vince is going to give a speech now. Oh. And so he's like, and it was really funny. So
did he eat a little bit too much frosting and like kind of throw up Pepto-Bismol?
Taylor? Yeah. No, he did not. But Taylor, his now fiance's name is Lauren, mm-hmm. and she is awesome. And her camp name is Mamba. And I remember
like the
this
candy,
like the candy. And they were not dating, but at a certain point, Taylor called me and he said, "Dude, you've got to buy me some Mambas because I want to give them to her like as a gift to kind of spark the relationship."
Oh.
And I was really stressed out because I went to like three different gas stations and none of them sold Mambas. They all sold sour Mambas.
Uh-oh.
And so it's this joke that I was like, your relationship's going to go sour because I got you the Mambas. But it never did.
Is that what started the relationship?
The Mambas. No, I mean, just Taylor's a great guy. Any girl would love to be with him.
He didn't need Mambas to get him a girlfriend.
In my opinion, Lauren totally scored. She really did.
Wow.
I think Taylor is a catch and a lot of people missed out, but Lauren, she caught him. And
so she's the one marrying up in this case. Usually,
well, Lauren's a quality person.
Oh, okay.
But I think anybody is lucky to be with Taylor. And I always tell my wife, I say, I want to live near Taylor one day because he makes me happy inside, guys.
Is she as big of a movie fan as he is?
Well,
Lauren
doesn't listen to this podcast, but she doesn't have the greatest taste in movies. We'll put it that way. She told Taylor Allen her favorite movie was Bride Wars, which is a pretty terrible movie.
Terrible. It's like saying your favorite movie is like Freaky Friday or something.
Yeah. I mean, I have Fool's pretty gold. Bad, like, I like Fool's Gold, Matthew. I have bad taste in movies, but the bad movies I like are, like, classically revered as, like, not classics, but, you know, movies that everybody passed around, like, underground movies, kind of like, I'm totally drawing a blank on the word. Goonies would be considered this type of movie.
Oh, okay. A nostalgic type of movie or a
cult classic. Movie. Okay. Like Hot Rod didn't do so well in theaters.
But everybody
loves Hot Rod. Or Heavyweights didn't do so well in theaters, but everybody loves Heavyweights.
Home Alone.
But Lauren is more. You know, she's eclectic taste. You know,
that's a better word for it. Eclectic.
But I honestly, shout out or spout out to my buddy Taylor, who listens to the show, and I'm just excited for you. Hopefully, I get to be in the wedding. And
fingers crossed.
And he's a sharp looking dude, and he dresses really nice. So I'm hoping that as groomsmen, we get to buy like nice clothes, and then I can wear it afterwards. Because I've only been in weddings where I had to buy like rent a tux, you know. But I'm hoping this is like I buy a really nice shirt, and then I can wear it again.
Like you're gonna wear a bow tie sort of a wedding?
I hope.
Yeah,
with suspenders.
He's a bow tie kind of guy. Oh, so right. and suspenders.
He's a bow tie kind of guy.
I think. Do the you? Groomsmen will all wear Sperry's if I.
I'm hoping
for that.
You already have
well.
A pair. So.
I'm going to look good.
Oh, all right. Moral of the story is.
Well, I know nobody cared. What?
When's the wedding?
It's in June.
That's far. Okay.
That's far away. Well, he's got to finish school, and she just started as a nurse. Nobody cares about this stuff except me.
Well, I just don't know how soon we'd get to see pictures. Because
It's
going to be a while.
All right, I'll forget, and then it'll be like a surprise.
Yeah.
Surprise.
So, hey, that's it. This is The Spout. Check us out on Instagram and Facebook.
Gmail.
And we're out.